Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. Join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you. Oh my gosh, thank you for this glorious day that you have given us, Lord, and probably in the grand scheme of nature and in creation and just the whole world, there are so many people that don't have a clue about this day. They don't know why it's such a big deal. They're glad they got a day off on Friday or on Monday. But Lord, there is the glory of this day that we know, the joy, the passion, the power. Lord, that's what we need to express to the world. Because we know why we are different. We know why life is better for us no matter what our circumstances are. Because we have eternal life, because we have joy, we have this forgiveness, we have your redemption. Lord, that's what we need to share. But in this room today and online, those that are joining us, I know that there are circumstances in our lives. So Lord, while we give you honor and praise and glory today, we also come to you with needs. We come to you desperate for so many things in our lives. Lord, we are desperate for healing, physical healing, relationship healing, mental healing. We need healing from our addictions. We need healing in our relationships. Lord, you can do it all. So, Lord, I really, not just as a word, but, Lord, I beg you to do it. I beg you, Lord, to touch people's lives. Lord, to mend the broken places. And then, Lord, I know that we need forgiveness. We need our hurts healed, Father. And so I pray that you would do that as well, Lord, that you would, as we know, as your holy word says, Lord, that you would free us from that condemnation that we put on ourselves, because there is no condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, this I pray that we would just release that to you today. And, Lord, that it would free us for joyful obedience. It would free us for joyful worship. It would free us to hear you this very day. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. For this day and evermore, in Jesus' name, all the people said, amen, amen. If you're a guest with us today, there's no expectation upon you to give. If you're a Christian and you would like to give, or you want to give the ministry of the church to support all the things that we do, then please do. There's giving links. There's also boxes outside. We still put the baskets out this week. If you want to turn in your attendance card and let us know who you are, if you want more information, we'll take care of those this week and get back to you. But I want to pray over our finances, over your money, because if it's important to God, it's important to all of us. And on the other way, if it's important to us, it's always important to God. So anybody care about your money? I'm the only one. Well, give me yours. I'll take care of it. Let's pray. Lord, for our finances, Lord, you are the giver of all good things. And Lord, I know that money can be used for a lot of things, but Father, if it comes from you, it's good. Now, how we use it, boy, that's just up to us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would give back to you what you ask. Lord, you only ask for just a little bit, but Lord, you take it and you use it immeasurably in the world to show your love and your grace. So, Lord, bless every giver today. Lord, bless what is given to your church. Lord, not for salaries and not for lights and not for productions, but Father, for your kingdom. You'll take care of the rest if we'll take care of what's important to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. I didn't think about introducing myself to a lot of you that don't know me, but I'm Matt. I'm the preaching pastor here, I guess you could say, the lead pastor or whatever. I really like to say I'm just one of the pastors because we have a lot. Because all of you also are ministers in the gospel and part of our family and do so much more than I do. And so I just get to be up here on Sunday and everybody gets to see me. And but there's really Dallas for worship, Ashley for children's ministry. There's music back there and technology and our greeters and our ushers. And so thank you to all of them, people in the office that make all this just work. And so I'm grateful for that. Today, you can get sermon notes if you would like. There's a phone number you can text to, or in just a minute, I'll put a QR code up there. It's also on your little community handout. If you got one of those today, you can scan that QR code on there as well and be able to get the information. Today, as we think about Easter Sunday, right? Now, look, right now, it is 11:04 a.m. How many of you have a ham in the oven you need to get home to? Well, there's a few waving your hands back there. All right, I promise you by the time we're done, it will be bacon, and it'll be just fine, okay? Some of y'all will get that here in a little while. That's all right. About 1:30, you'll be able to figure out what I'm talking about. I'm really kidding. Don't panic. Don't panic. So we're going to talk about running to the empty tomb today. And as we do, this is a part of worship. So you saw the dance. That's a part of worship. Our prayer is a part of worship. Our giving is a part of worship. Our singing is a part of worship. You showing up in the presence of God is a part of worship. And as we talk about and read scripture, that is also a part of worship. And so to hear the word of God is a part of worship. And so listen to this historical account of the resurrection of Christ out of John 20, 1 through 10. Actually, I'm going to ask, would y'all run the slides back there on the scripture while I read so I don't have to try to keep up with my own stuff up here? So now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone had already removed from the tomb. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple left, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first, and he stooped and he looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there. However, he did not go in. So Simon Peter also came following him, and he entered the tomb. He looked at the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but lying aside but folded in a nice, neat place all by itself. So the other disciple who had come to the tomb first also entered then, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now, on Easter morning, when you hear that, that's for a lot of us, we've read that many, 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 many times. Now, I know that even on Easter morning, though, that faith is sometimes hard to come by. Sometimes faith is sometimes hard to find. Sometimes faith is slippery and hard to hold on to when our circumstances are not exactly the way we anticipated that they would be. I know as adults, as we grow up, how many of you are exactly where you thought you would have been 30 years ago? No hands in the room. That is such encouragement to the younger generation, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, it's just things just don't always turn out the way we want them to. And some of these are really hard and tragic things is the reason they don't turn out the way we want them to. And so we're really, I want you to hear me, no different than the disciples. Because if sometimes I believe that it's the church and pastors and faith and other well-meaning and intentioned Christians that really hurt us and cause us to doubt, cause us to lose our faith, cause us to have that slippery idea of who the Messiah is supposed to be. Because it doesn't always happen the way we think it should, just as the disciples. But I know this, I want to tell you this, that but all that call upon the name of Jesus as their Lord and Savior, let me just start out with this, offers forgiveness. Right, offers redemption and offers salvation no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what the church has said to you or done to you or hurt you or misguided you or disappointed you, no matter what pastor didn't live up to your expectations, I'm here to tell you that Jesus always will if we have the right ones. And so I want to ask you today, how do you run, right? As you're running to the empty tomb, how do you run? Now, that sounds like a silly question because we can all run, and I'm not talking about your form, okay? I'm not talking about if you run on the heels of your foot. I'm not talking about if you run on the ball of your foot. I'm not talking about if you're kind of dainty as you run or if you're at an all-out sprint. I want to talk about how the disciples ran. And what I want you to hear is, so Peter and the other disciple left and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple, again, that's John, ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. Think about Peter for just a minute in his relationship with Jesus. Peter was the first disciple called out of all 12. Peter was, he was the disciple of all the disciples. I mean, he was kind of the spokesperson, and he was kind of the, he wasn't the self-appointed leader, but because of his personality, sometimes they just rise to the top, and Peter was that one. Peter saw miracles, and he experienced miracles. Peter Peter walked on water, right? I mean, that's something you put on a resume, amen? I mean, if you're a disciple and a follower of Jesus, or maybe even if you're not, I mean, if you walked on water, you want everybody to know that. And Peter, I mean, he was brashly passionate about Jesus. He was bold about Jesus. When they came to arrest Jesus, Peter took out a sword and whacked off a guy's ear that was getting too close. I mean, he loved Jesus, but also he denied Jesus. Not just denied being a follower of Jesus, he denied knowing Jesus. So how are you in your relationship right now in that list of things when it comes to our faith in Christ? How are you in that list when it comes to this idea of when you're here on Easter Sunday morning and you hear that Jesus is risen and your heart leaps for joy, but yet your heart is quick to respond, but your head kind of slows you down a little bit, because you know, as soon as Peter heard that, I just believe that when Peter goes, he's alive, maybe? He's not in the tomb, where is he? And he gets up and starts running. I think it's probably, I mean, he's running really fast, and it's like, wait a minute. He's not going to want to see me. I mean, I denied him. I mean, I didn't even say I knew him. And, I mean, I was right outside where he was, and I didn't try to help him. He's not going to want to see me, but I guess I need to go and look. Right? I need to try to get there. I need to maybe kind of muster up my belief for this Resurrection Sunday. Maybe I just need to go and see. Because John outran Peter, so why? I think it was Peter's guilt, his shame, his doubt, his depression, right? His ridicule, his lack of faith. I mean, all those things weigh him down. Have you ever tried to run with your arms full of stuff, right? Have you ever tried to run from, maybe if you were on a flight from one gate to the next and you had all your carry-on bags and you had your coffee and you didn't want to check anything, and so you got as much as you possibly could, you know? You get a carry-on plus one you can put overhead. How many of y'all pack that dude as fat as you possibly can? Yeah, I know y'all, because y'all are the ones that delay the flights. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, we're going to have to check that. No, we can get it in, just give me a second. See, no, I mean, so when you try to run with all that stuff, it's hard. And when you try to run to the empty tomb, when you try to run to faith in Jesus Christ, and you have all that stuff in your life, sometimes it weighs us down. Because maybe if we think we really do want to believe, we might have that doubt in our head that Jesus is not going to take me back. I denied him. I didn't. Right? All the things. Why? Why? Because here's why I think it slowed Peter down. And here's why I think it slows us down. Is because he had excuses and he had choices. I could have listed a whole bunch of things, but I just decided to say, we all have excuses and we all have choices. Amen? Yes, amen. And sometimes we don't know what to do with those, but here's what Peter did, and here's what I think. This is why I want to be the example of the disciple called Peter, because, not because he whacked off somebody's ear, even though that's really cool, by the way. But, I mean, it's because in the middle of all of that, he still ran, right? He still went. Even when he said, I don't think he wants to see me, he still kept going, right? When he said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to really understand what's happening, he still kept going. When he said, he's gonna bust my chops for denying him. But he still goes, and he goes, and he goes. But why is that? I think all of us, our excuses, I've messed up, but I'm still going, right? Peter said the same thing. I've made bad choices, but I'm still going. I have ridiculed other Christians. I have doubted. I have not prayed like I'm supposed to. I've not read scripture. I've not gone to corporate worship. I've not done Bible study. Oh my gosh, I don't even know all the books of the Bible, much less who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Frank are. Some of y'all are safe. Right? But yet he still went. Right? Yeah, he still went. How many anyway people do I have in the room today that you still are coming to the empty tomb, right? Because no matter what, we're going to go anyway. And we're here on Easter Sunday morning really standing at the empty tomb. Standing there, but what happens next? What happens next? John, now listen, John, he was younger than Peter, okay? I know that it's historically factual. Peter was the older guy, he was the wiser, whatever. John was younger. So a lot of people say, well, John outran Peter because he was just younger and a lot faster. I assure you, there are people, I mean, there are lots of y'all in the room today that even with my Sunday best on, I could outrun all of y'all. Not all of you, but most of you. But then I could turn around and whip you when we're done. Okay, I'm confident in that. There are people 35 years younger than me in my family that they are always on their guard when I'm around because they know that I'm still going to be standing, and they're not. See, it's not about age. It's about heart, right? John outran Peter because of his heart. Peter's heart was quick, but his mind was slowing him down. And John, here's the deal about John, though, all those things about Peter. John, what John was a worshiper, okay? John was very, we call it contemplative these days. He contemplated everything he wanted to hear and he wanted to watch before he made any judgments, before he said anything. You know, as Peter's pulling out a sword to whack off an ear, John's standing in the back. He's just now trying to assess what's going on, okay? And as John is a worshiper, though, which is fine. I mean, I'm so glad for that. But it's because John, I think the reason he outran Peter is because John had such a transformation in his life that was still so fresh in his heart and his mind that he really wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. That's a true worshiper, 100%. John was at the house of the high priest even when Jesus was on trial. John was the only disciple of all the men disciples. He was the only disciple at the foot of the cross at the crucifixion. He wanted to be with Jesus. See, that's a worshiper. That's a worshiper. And I'm just telling you, worshipers hit the ground running when they hear the presence of the Lord is close by. Right, when they know, and you know some worshipers in the room. I mean, I know some. I mean, Will back here on the keys, I mean, that boy worships, amen. I mean, he worships. I mean, and I'm not gonna go through the list. I could just start naming people out, but he's always front and center. A worshiper, right? Courtney. Courtney, doesn't matter if she's on stage or in the back. Matter of fact, sometimes Courtney, I like you in the back better because when people hear you singing back there, they're like, oh, I can sing, right? I can sing loud. That's why she does it. Amen. Amen. Right? And see, that's a worshiper. And let me tell you, it's not how well you sing, okay? And it's not if you're a statue worshiper or if you're a T-Rex worshiper or if you're a village people worshiper. Okay? It doesn't matter. It's one of my favorite jokes. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I mean, there's, right? Yeah. Doesn't matter. It just matters about your heart. So I don't ever judge how anybody worships, but I do judge how you live your life out in your testimony. I do watch how people live out who they are in Christ because John was living out his transformation by running to the empty tomb. But here's the other question is, what do you do, right? What do you do when you get to the empty tomb? How do you respond? When John got there, right? I mean, John runs up. He's running as fast as he can. He gets to the empty tomb, and he stops, and he's looking in. He doesn't go in. He's looking in. And why is that? Even a worshiper sometimes has trouble believing. How can this be possible? the linens are over here, and that thing that we put on his face just a few days ago, it's folded up and it's over here. How is this? But look out! Don't stand in the doorway, because here comes Peter, right? I know there's a lot of us in the room. We kind of come late to the party, or we're behind a little bit, but we get there. Amen. Come on now. Yeah, I mean, we get there. That's why we sing three songs. For all of you that gripe about how long worship is, just worship on the first one and we'll be done. Y'all think I'm kidding. Yeah, no. Here comes Peter, slowed down by all of his stuff. Man, he's like, get out of the way, right? He wants to walk right into that tomb. He wants to look. He wants to see. He wants to be where the presence of Jesus was just a few days ago. Where is he? Where is he? I know I doubted, and I know I said things, and I know I didn't. I know, but I'm here now, right? I'm here now. Where is he? And see, and that's what I want us to do, because here's what I know is we need to step right into the empty tomb with all of ourselves, right? All of our drama, all of our crazy, all of our doubt, all of our misconceptions, all of our whatever, all of us, the whole of us, we need to step into the empty tomb, because that really is, I believe, if you just think about it, the empty tomb is just the gateway to the glorious throne room of God. See, that's why he wants us to come in. And boy, when we burst through and we get in and we get past all that stuff, there's Jesus, right? And what he's going to say is, I'm so glad you ran through all that other stuff. I'm so glad you ran through your doubt and your hurt and your heartache. I know that it wasn't fun, and I know it wasn't good, and I know that this didn't turn out the way you wanted to, but I'm glad you came in, because you found me. You found me. See, that's what Easter's all about, is finding the presence of the Lord in our lives and to be able to share that with other people. My anyway people and my all people. That's who we are. I'm going anyway, and I'm taking all of me there. It's not all pretty, but I'm going to take us all there. And then so I don't have any more questions, but I do have one last observation. Jesus responds to every one of us. Even the T-Rex worshipers. Even the statue worshipers. Right? Even the village people worshipers. He responds to all of us. Every one of us. All the time. And let me show you. Jesus said to Mary, he said, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, sir, gosh, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him away. And then Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned, and she looked, and she said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. She recognized him. And you know what that tells me is Jesus' response to her is, it's only been a couple of days. But yet, a couple of days of doubt, a couple of days not being in the presence of the Lord and in fellowship and in the Word and in prayer and in conversation, I know that she had trouble recognizing Jesus. But she was still looking for him. See, that's what we need to do. No matter where we are in life, we just need to keep looking for him, because she didn't recognize him and didn't know who he was, but Jesus knew who she was and called her by name. He has not forgotten your name. He's not forgotten anybody's name. And he's still waiting for us to be searching for him. And then also, Jesus responds with power and direction. He says, now when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were together due to their fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven of them. If you retain the sins of any, then their sins have been retained. See, when the disciples are together, let me just tell you about being together. Why it's so important is because they're together and they're still trying to figure it out. Not off on their own, but together, asking questions of each other and searching the scriptures and trying to figure things out. Even though they were doubtful, even though they were scared, even though they had seen their Lord crucified and now they don't know where he is, they were still together. Boy, that's the body of Christ. That's why I like for us to be together, is so I can ask you questions, so I can doubt with you, and so I can say, why did this happen, or why is this happening, or what does this scripture mean, or can we just pray, right? Can we just go eat together? Can we just live our lives together? See, they were together, and Jesus showed up when they were together. And he shows them who he is. See, I think over time, Jesus reveals himself to us more and more and more. We have the full power and the full everything of God inside of us by the Holy Spirit, but it gets uncovered just a little bit of a time in our lives as we worship him and as we seek him. And he says, just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. See, we all have a calling. Everybody's is different, but we all have a calling. No matter if you're 12 or 15 or 30 or 50 or 80, we all still have a calling. And Jesus empowered them. He breathed on them the power of God and the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to be in you, right? Receive the Holy Spirit. He just doesn't show them, hey, look at this neat trick. I got holes in me and I'm alive. Hey, right? I walk through doors. Hey, no. He's giving them everything that they need. We have everything that they would need. And then, how many of you can relate to Thomas? And then he said to Thomas, place your finger here and see my hands, and take your hand and put it here in my side. And do not continue in disbelief, but be a believer. See, Thomas, he really was jaded because he wasn't really spending time with the disciples that much anymore. He was out doing his own thing. And why is that? Because Jesus didn't turn out the way he thought he should. The church, we didn't even have a church then, but that body of believers, they just weren't exactly the way he thought they should be. So he was out doing his own thing, but guess who still waited for him? Guess who still invited him? Those believers. Even though he doubted, even though he might have said, I'm just not doing this. I mean, the Romans are looking for us. The Jews are looking for us. They're going to string us all up. No way. And they said, just come on. Come have supper with us. Come have lunch with us. Come do these things with us. And let's just talk about Jesus. Let's just work this out. And it's still while they were together that Jesus shows back up. And I think it's just for Thomas at this point. He shows back up for Thomas. And he says, okay, I showed you everything I needed to show you. I filled all your doubts. I answered all of your questions. I gave you what you needed to believe. See, if you just keep asking, just keep asking. Just keep asking. He will answer you. He will give you the answers that you need. And Jesus was okay with Thomas's doubt. He goes, I get it, but look. I understand, but look. I understand. But come and see. Come and see. So here's what I say today to all of the onlookers. Here's what I say to all of us who might have some fears, who might have some doubts about this thing called the resurrection. And you may have, somebody may have brought you today, or this may be your first time in a church, and you're wondering why in the world we're in a gym and we're not in some big sanctuary or temple or whatever it might be. Because we just like to gather and we like to worship. And we like to play together. Amen? We like just to be together. We don't have any pretense. We're not worried about how we dress. And we're not worried about any of that kind of stuff. We just like to be together. I mean, we cooked burritos in the back today, for heaven's sake. Yeah, I mean, it's great. Coffee and donuts and burritos. I mean, it's like, wow, the presence of the Lord is strong in this place. Yeah, I mean, we just gather together. But we still have questions. Right? We still go, how could this happen to us? We still say, wow, did you see these prayers answered? And another person say, mine haven't been answered yet. We still say, I don't know. And we all still say, we're just trying to figure it out. But here's what we still do. We still believe. We still worship. We still serve. We still go and tell. We still try to be who God's called us to be. We don't always make it. We don't always feel it, but we do it. And we just put one foot in front of the other. We just run just like Peter and just like John did. We try our hardest to get to where God calls us to be. And sometimes when we get there, we go, gosh, I'm just not too sure about this. And we look in before we step in. And some of us, we just kind of run right in, and then we get messy and dirty, and we try to figure it out, and we go, oops. And then we try to clean it up and keep going. See, we just do this together. That's part of the story of Christ, is doing it together, being together. Because Jesus even said this. This is out of Hebrews 11:1. Pretty much, the higher blessings are ours. Because why? Because of Hebrews 11:1. We live and act by faith in this room. It's the substance of things hoped for, but the things we can't see. Right? We just kind of feel our way along, asking God to show us and the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. That's life. Every day, that's life. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Because some things we see are scary and hard. Some things we see just don't seem possible and actually seem impossible to do anything about. Yet, we live by faith and we pray. We live by faith and we get down and dirty with people. We live by faith and we try to be the hands and feet and voice of Christ in a world that desperately needs to hear him. That's who we are as the body of Christ. And that's just who we are here at this particular family of faith right here in this building. Because here's what we know, is that Christ really is risen. We know that he's alive and well. We know that if we will just keep running, eventually, just as Jesus and Scripture say, we will get to the finish line and he will be there. And when we get to the finish line, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't know that I'm going to feel like it's well done, and I don't know that I'm going to feel really faithful, and I'm going to have a lot of scars, and I'm going to have some hurts, and I'm not going to look real good when I get there. Amen? I mean, because life is hard. Get a helmet. Amen? Yeah, I'm just here to encourage you, okay? I'm just here to encourage you. But if we'll just keep running, if you will just keep running, Jesus will respond. If we'll just keep looking, Jesus will show us who he is. And if we will just keep being faithful, his faith will always come back to us 100%. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers that has gathered. I know that some are here for family and for out of town. Some are just looking and said, man, we haven't been to church in a long time, and let's just go see what this one is about and see if we like them. Lord, what I want them to find is not us. I want them to find you. Truly. Forget the preaching. Forget the music. Forget the dance. Forget the yummy donuts. Let's just focus on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so when we go into the world and they look at us and go, why are you different? What is it about you? I know there's something different about you. We can say, because Christ lives in me. That's the power of the resurrection of Easter. That is the power of God Almighty himself in us and through us for the world. And all the people said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.